This week's Parsha is Parshas Chayesara, and the title of the shiur tonight is Purchasing the Grave. In the shiur tonight, I want to address the beginning of the Parsha, the back and forth between Avraham and Ephron in terms of purchasing Maras Machpela as a burial site for Sarah and for the Avos in the future. And I want to just delve into the area. There's one really big question when we go through the Psukim that needs to be explained in order for us to gain insight and gain understanding about this back and forth and why the Torah even mentions how Maras Machpelah was purchased. Let's look in Bereishis Parakhov Gimel, Pasuk Gimel. I'm going to read through the Psukim and just summarize them in total, and then we'll look at the Mefarshim, mainly Rashi and the Ramban tonight, and try to understand the area a little bit deeper. Look in Pasuk Gimel, source number one. It says, Vayakom Avraham me'al pnei meso, vayidaber el bnei ches lemor. Avraham, he got up from before Sarah, who had passed away, and he spoke to the bnei ches, saying, Ger v'toshav anochi imachem, tnu li achuzas kever imachem, ve'ekbara mesi milfanai. I'm a stranger and an inhabitant amongst you. Give me some property for burial with you, and I'll bury my dead before you, milfanai. In Hey, it says, Vayanu b'nei ches es Avraham lemor lo. And the b'nei ches, they answered Avraham, saying, we're on Pasuk Vav in source number one, Shema'inu Adoni, Nesi Elokim, Ata b'sochenu, b'mevchar kivorenu, kivors meisacha, ish mimenu es kivro lo yichlem imcha mikvor meisacha. So Avraham requests to buy a piece of property for his burial for Sarah, and the response of b'nei ches is overwhelmingly positive. They say, really, you're a prince of Hashem, Elohim amongst us, and you can take the choicest kever, the choicest burial spot for Sarah, and nobody's going to stop you from burying in this area. Okay, so that's a good response. What happens? Look in Zion. It says, Vayakom Avraham vayishtachu la'amartz of Neches. Avraham's response was that he bows down to the B'nei Ches. Vayidaber itam lemor. And he speaks to them saying, Im yeshus nafshechem likboris meisil mofonai shema'uni ufiguli be'efron ben sochar. So now Avraham, he's looking for a specific plot, and he says to the B'nai Ches, if you want me to bury my dead amongst you, so introduce me to Ephron ben Sochar, because I want to buy his plot of land. V'yiten li es me'aras ha'machbelo asher lo asher b'ktei sadehu b'chesef malei yitzinen ali b'sochachem achuzos kaver. And he, Ephron, will give me me'aras ha'machbelo, the cave of Machbelo, with money, through money, and he'll give it to me as a burial plot. Ve'efron yoshe besoch b'nei ches, v'yan Ephron hachiti es Avraham be'oznei b'nei ches l'chol ba'i shari ro lemor. Ephron, who owned this burial plot that Avram wanted, was sitting amongst his people, and he says in front of everybody, Lo adoni shema'ini hasaden asati lach v'amara asher bo l'chon esatia le'nei b'nei amin esatia lach kvor mesecha. He says to Avram, in front of everybody, I'm going to give you what you want. I'll give you the burial plot that you want for free, free of charge, as a gift. Okay, Vayishtachu Avraham lefnei Amaretz. Once again, Avraham, he bows down. Vayidaber lefron be'oznei Amaretz lemor, ach imata lushima'ini, nasati kesef hasadeh kach mimeni, ve'akbaras meisi shamo. What happens? Avraham rejects Ephron's offer to give Maras Machpelah as a gift to him, and instead he says, give it to me and I'll pay you the money and its value, what it's worth, in order that I bury Sarah there. Vayan ranyu dalad. Vayan Ephron es Avraham lemor lo. Ephron says to Avraham, again, Adoni shema'ini eretz arbam yosheko kesef beini uvein choma hiv es mesecha kavor. Then he says that a land worth 400 shekel between me and you, what is it? And you can bury your dead. Vayishma Avraham el Ephron, vayishko Avraham el Ephron es a kesef asher diber bo'oznei b'nei ches, arbam yosheko kesef over la socher. Avraham pays the amount that Ephron says the field is worth, and the mara is worth. And then it becomes his. It becomes Avram. So if you look in Yud-Zayin, it says, "Vayakom stei Ephron asher b'machpelah asher lifnei mamrei asadeh v'amera asher bo v'chol eit asher b'asadeh asher b'chol gvulos aviv la'Avraham l'mikna le'nei b'nei ches b'chol ba'i she'ar iro." So the sada and the cave as well of Machpelah became Avram's in front of everybody. So he purchased it in front of everybody, all b'nei ches. V'acharechein kavar Avram esar l'ishto amaras sadeh machpelah p'nei mamrei hi chevron be'aretz Kanaan. And then Avram buries Sarah. Hello? Vayakom hasadev hamearah sherbo la Avraham achuzos kaver me'es b'nei ches. And this becomes a burial plot from B'nai Ches. Can everybody hear me on the phone line?
Yes.
Oh, okay. There's just, I don't know if you heard, but yeah. Okay. Just want to make sure. Okay, so just to summarize, what happens in the story is that Avram, Sarah passes away. She's Niftara. She passes away, and Avram's looking for the appropriate burial spot, and he finds this place that he wants to bury her, Maras HaMachpelah, and he asks the people who own the land, first he asks the people in general if it's okay if he buries there, and they're extremely happy to accommodate Avraham's wishes, and they say that you're a great prince, they want him to bury his dead there, and then he says, okay, introduce me to Ephron. What happens? Ephron says, I'm offering you any plot of land you want for, you know, my plot of land for free, and I'll give it to you as a gift. Why? Because, you know, you're a great person. And Avram turns it down, and instead he says, no, I got to pay for it. He pays for it, and then it becomes the Maras HaMachpelah, and he buries Sarah there. Okay, so that's the summary of all the psukim, source number one. Now the question, what's the main question here? What is very striking about these psukim? There's one main question. Did anybody know what that question is, or see a question in the psukim? To me,
why did he want that specific piece of land, and why did he insist on paying for it?
Okay, good, excellent. Why did Avraham want that specific plot of land, and why is he insistent on paying for it? Ephron, who is an admirer of Avraham, he says, "I'll give you the land. I'll give you it for free," and there doesn't seem to be any downside to it. So why doesn't Avraham just say, okay, I'll take the land? And why does he insist on paying for the land? Okay?
I don't think it's...
No. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't think it's so straight he insists on paying for the land. Because he's just trying to make sure that land is, if anything were to change in the future, whatever it is, it would still be his. He's just trying to make sure that there is there's nothing about it, it's like a gift.
Okay, that's your classic answer. That's your classic answer. But I don't understand that. I don't understand that. I'll tell you why. If you gave me a gift, you gave me a gift and you say in front of everybody, this is yours. You could do whatever you want with this. Now, how is that going to change in the future? You gave it to me. It's mine. Let's say you give me a book or something, or, you know, a sefer, and you say, I'm giving this to you as a gift for your bar mitzvah or for your wedding.
Right, but it also might mean that you might feel that I owe you one day. You gave me a gift.
Okay, so let's say that is the case. So what? What's the problem with that?
I don't know that I'd want to give the string attached.
So the Torah is telling us this whole story so that because Avraham didn't want to feel like he owed Ephron anything, and therefore.
No, that's actually the purpose of the story. I'm just saying one reason that maybe he was thinking about as to why he wanted to purchase it.
Okay, so that's okay. It's a good possibility, and it's definitely your first approach. The idea that it might change in the future is something that I remember being taught in school. I don't know where it's from because I was looking through the Mefarshim, but I don't really understand it. Like I said before, because if somebody gives you a gift, if I got something from my bar mitzvah, I don't think there's any, especially if it was public in front of everybody. And he's saying, and we're going to see the Mefarshim actually mention this, but if it's public, I don't understand why there would be any expectation that it would change in the future. And if you want to say that, you see by Maras HaMachpelah even nowadays, that there's a whole question of ownership, and there's a lot of contention over there, so it's not exactly clear-cut whose it is, even nowadays. And so what does that mean? I don't know what the difference would be between a gift, and especially if it was a real gift, and it was a gift in front of everybody, I don't understand what the difference between that and purchasing it would be, in terms of the effect on the future. So that's my issue with that answer. So I think we have to come up with a different answer, a different possibility. So let's look at some of the Mefarshim, and we'll try to develop an idea. I think there's one main idea to answer the whole concept and the purpose of the story. So let's go, but we'll start with Rashi, and we'll go between Rashi and the Ramban. I think we could develop some insights. Look at number two. It's Rashi on Pasuk Dalet. He says, "Ger v'toshav anochi imachem. I'm a stranger and I'm an inhabitant amongst you or with you. Ger me'eretz acheres v'nisyashavti imachem." So he's approaching B'nai Ches and he's saying, "I'm a stranger from a different land and I'm dwelling amongst you." Umidrash Agada, and the Medrash is, Im Tirtu Harini Ger. If you want, I'll be a stranger and I'll purchase it from you. V'im Lav, and if not, Ehaye Toshav. I'll be an inhabitant. V'etlenu min adin, and I'll take it legally, because it's my right to have it. She'amar li HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Hashem said to me, Lezaracha etain esa arta zos. To my offspring, I will give this, Hashem will give them this land. Okay, Achuzas Kever, Achuzas Karka, Levesa Kfaros. Fine, that's just the pshat. That, what does it mean, Achuzas Kever? A property, a possession of land for Kvaros, for burial. So the first Rashi, he says that the pshat is that Avram's approaching them as a stranger, as a foreigner, but the Medrash is saying, fine, if I'm a foreigner and you're not going to give me the land, then I'll pay for it. I'll be like a ger and I'll pay for it. But if not, Eyed Toshav, I'll be an inhabitant, and really the land belongs to me, and I'll just take it legally. Okay, what's strange about this Medrash? What's strange about this Medrash is that if it really was his, then why is he purchasing it? It's a similar question from before, but if the Medrash is saying that Avram really had a right to the land, and it was really his in the first place because Hashem promised him the land, then why is he purchasing it? It should be the opposite. It should be, a matana should be better at least, because it's really his. He shouldn't have to lose anything by purchasing it if it's really his. So that's a furtherance of the main question. Another question I had is, I don't know if we remember by Lot. So what happened between Avraham's, according to Rashi, between Avraham's shepherds and Lot's shepherds? Why did they have this big feud? And why did they split up and break up? Does anybody remember the story of what happened in Rashi? I think Rashi quotes, if I remember, Rashi quotes a story that what happened was that Avraham's shepherds would muzzle the animals, but Lot's wouldn't. And the reason why Lot's shepherds wouldn't muzzle the animals is because the claim was that the land will be Avraham's in the future, so it's not really stealing. And the response is, no, it's not Avraham's now, because he's not yet been Yorishit. It will be Avraham's in the future, but right now it's not his. We see over there that it really wasn't his land at this point. So why, according to this Medrash seems to contradict that idea, because the Medrash is saying that really Avraham had a right to take the land for a burial plot, and because of the fact that Lizaracha Atenis Aratazos, because to his offspring, this land will be given to his offspring. But why is that the case? What's the difference between over there by the Lot case and Avraham, where the Medrash seems to say that it's not Avraham's now, and over here, the fact that it's Avraham's in the future, or it will be his offspring, should entitle him to this land. Why? Why is that the case? Okay, you hear the question? Okay, so two questions on this Rashi, and we're gonna answer it with a big... Yeah, no problem. So one question is, why did Avram, the main question of this year, why did Avram have to pay for the land, right? Rashi is quoting a Medrash that said that either he'll pay for the land because he's a stranger, or he'll take it legally because he really owns it. Why does he own it? Because Hashem promised him the land in the future, or his offspring the land. So the question is, if it's really his, why is he paying for it? He should definitely take it as a gift. Why would he pay for it if it's really his? And the next question is, it really wasn't his, because we see earlier by the story of Lot and Avraham that Avraham wouldn't allow his animals to feed off the ground, the land yet, because it wasn't his yet, and he wasn't Yorishit yet. And Lot's argument was, no, in the future you will be Yorishit, you will inherit it, therefore you're entitled to it now. But the Medrash seems to say that Avraham argued with that, and he said, no, I'm not entitled to it now. But yet, over here, in our Rashi, the Medrash is saying, no, that really he would take it min adin, that he really would be entitled to Maros HaMachpelah, but it wasn't his now. It wasn't his land. So why over here in our situation would he be entitled to it, whereas by his shepherds eating, the animals eating the grass, why were they not entitled to it? What's the difference between the two cases? It's a little bit of a, I guess like a detailed question, but if you didn't get the second question, the main question is, why do you have to purchase it if it was really his, according to the Medrash? Okay, so we'll explain that. We'll go into that. But we'll leave that question off, and I'll summarize all the questions as we go on, as I usually do, and we'll come up with a bigger answer. Look at number three in the Ramban. We're going to go back and forth between Rashi and the Ramban. Number three, the Ramban on the very same Pasuk. He says, Ger v'toshav anochi amachem, haya haminag lios lahem bate kvaros, ish levis avosov, v'sadek fura echad yikbaru po bo kol agerim. So everybody who owned land and who was an inhabitant would get their own burial plot, but they would put all the strangers into one communal burial plot. It's kind of like in Eretz Yisrael nowadays, that if you live in Eretz Yisrael, you get, I think you're entitled to a burial plot in that city. But if you're from an American, there are like very few areas that you can bury in. There are areas, but they're like, they're relegated to, some of the areas are relegated to the Americans, but the Israelis, if you live in the cities, you're entitled to the plots there. I think that's how it works. So it's the same thing in the old days, that if you lived with the B'nai Ches, then you would get your own burial plot. But if you're a ger, you should be buried with all the other gerim in a separate cemetery. V'hine Avraham Amar al B'nai Ches. So what's Avraham saying to B'nai Ches? Ani ger, me'eretz acheres, v'lo hinchalti me'avosai be'sakfaros be'eretz hazos. So I didn't inherit my own burial plot in this land because I'm a stranger. V'hine atza ani toshav imachem. But now I'm an inhabitant. I'm living amongst you. Ki chafatzti lasheves ba'aretz hazos, because I want to dwell in this land. V'lachin, and therefore tnu kever lios li la'achuzas olam ke'echad mikem. So give me a burial plot like you, because I want to be like you. He wants to basically proclaim his citizenship to this area, to Eretz Yisrael, and to particularly this area in Chevron. And he's saying, give me this land as a family burial plot. Ubivnesh amar tnu, because he says, give it to me, chashvu shebikesh osa mehem b'matana. That's why they thought that he was asking for a gift, because he says tnuli. Tnuli implies a gift. V'anu oso, and they say back to him, Eincha nechshav be'ininu kiger v'toshav. You're not looked at like a stranger or an inhabitant. Ava'ata melech. You're above us. You're a king. Himlichecha ha'elokim aleinu v'anachnu v'admasinu avadim lecha. We're servants to you because Hashem has coronated you as a king. Tikach kol besak faro shetach botzbo v'ukvor mes chasham. Take anything that you want, any burial plot you want, and bury your mace there. V'yelecha la'chuzas kever l'olam ki ish m'menu lo yimna uhum yimcha. Okay, so the Ramban is saying something very interesting. He's saying that Avraham, there's an implication in the statement of Avraham. When he asked for the burial plot, he says, Tznu, give it to me. He doesn't say, I'll buy it from you right away, but he says, give it to me because I'm living amongst you. And there, the implication that they picked up on was that he wanted a matana, and they were willing to give it to him because they admired him and they respected him. But nevertheless, he still says afterwards, no, I need to purchase it. I can't take it as a gift. So it's the same question as before, but to strengthen the question. The Ramban's saying that there's even, it sounds like an unconscious or an implication in the way that he was speaking to the B'nai Ches, that he really wanted it as a gift, but yet he's not accessing it as a gift. He turns down the gift. So the question remains, why did he turn it down? He's living amongst them. He's really a member of now, you know, a member of their city. So why doesn't he take it like everybody else as a gift? Or at least it was offered to him as a gift, so take it as a gift. He's implying that he wants it as a gift. But nevertheless, Avraham turns it down. He says, no, I can't take it as a gift, but rather I'm going to purchase it. So it's the same question that I keep strengthening the question with the Rishonim. Okay, and think about it. I want the people on the phone line, the women on the phone line to think about it. And if you come up with an answer, then share it with us. Yeah, go ahead.
Could it be that Avraham didn't want to be seen as if he was a king because he wanted people to know that Hashem was the king? So maybe he wanted to buy it to show, I'm not a king, I'm just a regular person, just like you. And okay. I'm not so special, it's God that's special.
Okay, I like that approach, I actually do. And I think part of that idea is going to fit in. But if you look at the Ramban, he does say, "Him lichecha ha'elokim alinu," that they say to him that, not that you're the king, but Hashem has coronated you as king. So it sounds like they recognize that Hashem is the Melech from the Ramban. But they're saying that the Ramban is saying that they saw Avraham as being coronated by Hashem as the king. So to me, it seems like
he wants to make it a point that he's not one of them.
He's not one of them. Okay, why would he want to do that? That's a good point. Okay, why would he want to do that?
Like to say, it seems that he didn't want his son, Yitzchak, to marry from son.
Okay, all right. Okay, good. So one possibility, another possibility. So one idea mentioned before was that he didn't want to be seen as a king, and the other possibility is that he wanted to separate himself from them. And I like both ideas, both concepts, but it still doesn't explain ultimately why he didn't take it as a gift, at least the separation idea. Because when you give somebody a gift, if it's a legitimate gift, and we'll see from the Ramban, you'll see coming up, that if it's a real gift, and the person giving you the gift says, it's yours, and you could do whatever you want with it, So then you really are separating it from the other person. It's really yours. So I don't understand. I still don't understand why it had to be that he had to purchase it. It had to be a kinyan through purchasing it. And the melech idea, I think, is also a good approach. And we're going to see. I think a lot of these ideas will come together at the end of this year. But the melech idea also, the Ramban seems to indicate that B'nai Ches, they understood that Hashem was really the king. And they just coronated Avraham. But it does seem that he wants to turn down the respect or being looked at as a king. And we'll see why that is. Okay, let's go on. Go on.
If he's giving it to him as a gift.
Yeah.
Maybe it has like some element of making him like a tosha. Maybe it's not exactly it's a gift. I mean, it's like he's entitled, but it's still like similar.
It's making him like okay. I mean, it could be, but he's saying the Ramban says that he wants to be a tosha at first, and he says. I mean, okay. We'll see. We'll see how that idea plays in. It's a good possibility. Okay, let's go on. Look in Rashi number 4. It says lo yichle lo yimna kimo lo sichla rachamecha. So nobody's going to prevent you from having a grave here. That's what the B'nai Ches say to him. Nafshechem ritzonchem. Fine, that's ches if it's your will. Let's go on. Look at Tess, HaMachpela. Why is it called Machpela, the Maras HaMachpela? Now, this is a Machlokes in the Gemara, and Rashi quotes both sides. One side, it says, Bayis V'Aliyah Gabav, that it was a two-storied cave, and that's why it's called Machpela. Machpela means doubled, and it had a base, and it had a second level. Davar Acher, Shekfula Bezugos. The other possibility is that it was doubled with couples. That Adam Arishon, that possibility is saying that Adam Arishon was buried there with Chava, and Avram would be buried there with Sarah, and Yitzchak with Rivka, and Yaakov with Leah. So because it was doubled with pairs, with the Avos and Adam, and Imohos, because of that, that's why it's called Maras HaMachpelah, the cave that is doubled. So there are two possibilities as to why it's called Maras HaMachpelah. Now the question also, I think Tamar asked the question in the beginning of this year, why was it important for him to find this particular spot? What about it was important? Why did he need a specific burial plot and space? And the Gemara offers two possibilities as to what was unique about, or I guess, why is it called Maras HaMachpelah? One is because it had two stories, and the other one is because of the fact that Adam HaRishon and Chava were already buried there, and it was really doubled with Zugos. So what do we see? How would you explain this Machlokes in the Gemara? What's a Machlokes, and why is it significant that it be called Machpelah? It's trying to teach you an idea. What is that idea? So I just want to start. We're not going to answer. We're going to answer one question, but we'll still develop the other question. By Maras HaMachpelah, there's two possibilities. Either it was one level, and it was two leveled, or the other possibility is that it had the Zugos buried in it. What's the difference between the two? The side that holds that it was two leveled, it's trying to tell you that the burial plot had to be recognizable, that it couldn't just be something that was like every other cave, but it had to be something that was identifiable. And that seems to be clear in the purpose or the goal of the Maras HaMachpelah, that the goal of the Maras HaMachpelah is that it's a place meant to be visited by the Jewish people in the future, and therefore it had to be an identifiable place. That's why it was called Machpelah. But the other possibility is Shekfula Bezugos, that its function, it's not named in terms of its structure, but it's named in terms of its function. And its function was to bury the Zugos. Now, it's interesting to note from Rashi that Avraham knew this idea. It sounds like he understood that the Maras HaMachpelah would not just be for Adam and Chava and him and Sarah, but it would be for Yitzchak and Rivka and Yaakov and Leah. And that we're going to see is an interesting point, that he understood an idea and a concept in the Maras HaMachpelah, that it wasn't just, either it had to be something that was nicker, it was recognizable, or that it functioned not just for him and Sarah, and not just for Adam and Chava, but it would function in the future for the Avos. Okay, do you everybody understand that, accept that? So that's how I would explain the Machlokes in the Gemara as to why it's called Maras HaMachpelah. It's not a Pshat Machlokes, it's a Machlokes, and conceptually, what the key and the Iker idea is. Is it that it had to be a place that people could find, and in order to, you know, pay the respects to the Avos and learn from it? Or is it a place, is it named based on its function? And Avram was aware of both ideas and both concepts. But what is that? Why is that significant? And how does that fit in to the main question of the Shir? which is, once again, why did Avram purchase Ma'arasa Machpelah and not just take it as a gift, which we'll get to. Let's look at the Ramban. The Ramban in number 5 says, look at in Tess. It says, V'itnena li she'achshov osa, it's she'achshov osa kematana, im bekesef male echena mimenu, v'alkein lo hiskir lashon mechira, v'chein ochel bakesef tishbrenu, umayim bakesef titen li, she'amayim hanisunim b'matana, etein bahem kesef, oshu derech alashon mahaskir kein b'mechiros. Fine, so what the Ramban is saying is that even though he was willing to pay for it, Avram would perceive it like a gift. So he's approaching Bnei Ches and saying, even though I'm willing to pay for it, I'll look at it as if it's a gift and that you don't have to give it to me. But I'm willing to pay for it. And then he goes on, he explains Ma'arasa Machpelah. He quotes Rashi, and this is source number 5. He quotes Rashi, and then he says, he disagrees as usual. Look in at the period in the Ma'arasa Machpelah. He says Ve'enenu Nachon. He says this is not the case. He doesn't like the Gemara's approach. Ki Akasav Amar Sde Ephron Asher Machpelah Ve'hine Hu Shem Hamakom Asher Bo Hasada. He says that Machpelah was the name of the province. It wasn't the particular name of the Ma'ara. Ve'en Sorech Levakish Tam L'Shem Hamakomos. You don't have to know what the reason for the name of places is. There's no reason to go into that. Over Rashi's Rabra Amru Shekafa Kadosh Baruch Hu Komaso Shel Adam Harishon VeKavru B'Socha. But he does see that the Medrash mentions that Adam, who is very tall, was doubled over in order to be buried there. VeAl Daitam Hayakol Makomahu Nikra Kein Olam VeHem Lo Yadu Taima. And that's why this area was called Machpelah. Because when Adam was buried, he was buried in a doubled over manner. He was very tall. And that's why it was named Machpelah. Ki Ephron bidme asada machalo akol al daito she'in sham kever. Ephron didn't realize that there was a kever, and he didn't know what the name was, but it was really named after Adam Arishon. So this is a classic Ramban. I saw a similar Ramban a couple weeks ago, that he says that the reason why the place was named this way is not because of any unique idea in the Ma'ara, but he's saying that really it goes back to what it was originally. Originally, it was a burial place for Adam, but nobody recognized that. They didn't remember that. Ephron didn't know about it, but it was called Machpelah because Adam was doubled over when he was buried there. Okay. Fine. So that's the idea the Ramban's getting at. I don't think we have to do the end of the Ramban. But the Ramban, he's arguing with Rashi. He's just saying that there's no idea in the Machpelah being significant in terms of it being two-leveled or being a place for the Zugos, but rather it was there, it was named that way because Adam was buried there and Ephron didn't know that. But it still sounds like Avraham had this knowledge, had some knowledge that Adam was buried there, and that's important. And we'll see why that's important in terms of his decision to not purchase the field. Okay. Let's look at number 7. We'll skip number 6. Let's look at number 7. I mentioned to you before that this type of gift was not a trick, but really it would be a legitimate gift, almost like a person giving you a gift for a simcha. And there's no expectation that the gift be returned, but it's a real gift. It's yours. And look, if you look at number 7, the Ramban echoes this idea. He says, "Vitam le'inei b'nei ami." Ephron says that I'll give it to you as a gift in front of everybody. "Leimor hinei kolam heina." Meaning to say that the whole entire nation is here. V'heim hayodim v'edim. They know and they'll be witnesses. V'al tachlash l'chfira o l'chazara. And don't be worried about denial, because I can't deny it. I gave it to you. I'm giving it to you as a gift in front of everybody. So how can I deny that it's yours? O l'chazara. And I'm not going to retract it, because everybody here is witnessing this. Ukfor meis chasham me'ata kishel chahi v'lo ucha lashuv. And now, once I give it to you as a gift, you can bury your dead there, and it's impossible that it'll ever go back to me. The Avraham lo asakin, but Avraham decided not to take it as a gift. Kigam acharei shepara hakesef mole. Once he, even after he paid the kesef mole, hechzik tchila besada uve ma'ara, he established himself and his possession of the land and the cave. Vehikimam bereshuso, and he established them in his reshus, in his possession, his domain. Leinei bnei ha'ir v'chol ba'ishar ha'ir. The Ramban says that this was a legitimate gift. Ephron is saying it's all yours. Everybody's seeing this. Nobody can deny it. It's all yours. And nevertheless, Avram, no, he didn't take it. And not only that, the Ramban's adding that he had to demonstrate to everybody that it was his and that he was Kone and he was Machzik himself in the land. And the question still remains, why is that necessary? Why is that so important? Okay? So what happens? What happens in the store? Yeah, go on, please.
I think sometimes when you purchase something versus getting it as a gift, you tend to treat it differently.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
I think you could be more careful, or I'm just trying to see how it connects, I guess.
Okay.
Right now, but.
No, okay, so we'll, that's a good idea. So what Nicole's saying is that really the idea is that is a gift is looked at differently than when you purchase something. So I agree with that. So let's see. So we have three approaches or three possibilities as to why it had to be purchased. One was that he didn't want to appear like a melech. Another is that he wanted to separate himself. And your idea is that there's a difference between a gift and something that you purchase in terms of how you perceive it. And I think all those ideas are true. I think that we just need to put them all together. And I think we'll come out with an idea here. Okay, so good. I like that.
Is there a possibility that if it wasn't purchased and everything, then it wouldn't be like exclusively his? And after Abraham died, maybe they'd want to bury somebody else there?
That's what somebody mentioned before. I think it was Debbie. But I think the Ramban is saying the opposite. The way that the Ramban is saying it is that it's a real gift and it's yours and you can do what you want with it. And if that's the case, if it was given in front of everybody as a real gift, I don't understand why that possibility would emerge. And it's recorded in the Torah also that it was, and it's in front of everybody. So I don't understand why that possibility is real. I think it's just like any gift that somebody gives you. If, as long as it's legitimate and it's in front of other people, it's really yours, and you can do what you want with it. And nobody's going to take it back. We don't believe in de-gifters and de-gifters. So that's the idea, the concept. An Indian giver, sorry. Well, Seinfeld is a de-gifter and a re-gifter. Okay, so there's a re-gifter and a de-gifter. We don't believe in that. At least the Ramban saying that. But really, it was offered as a full-fledged gift. Okay. If you look at what happens in the end, Avram ends up paying full price. And not only does he pay full price, it was expensive. If you look in Tesvav in Rashi, Ephron, he says, Beni uveincha, when he's describing the price of the land, he says, between me and you, Bein shnei ovim kamonu, mahi chashuva leklum, elohanachas amechar ves mesucha kavor. He's kind of making them out to be best friends. And he's saying, between the two of us who are friendly with one another, we love each other. So it's nothing, this amount of money, you know, and just bury your mace there. And then Avram, he pays him out. He says, it says, Vayishkol Avram le'Ephron. He pays out the amount. And he uses a universal currency, a currency that's accepted by everybody in every country at that time, of silver. And that's what ends up happening. And then if you look in Yud Zayin and Yud Ches, it says, Vayakom Shtei Ephron, Tekuma Haisala, Shiyatza Miyad Hedyod Liyad Melech. The land was upgraded because it went from a Hedyod Ephron to a Melech, to Avram. Upshuta Shomekra, Vayakom Hasadev, Vahamehara Sherbo, Vachol Eitzel Avram Lemekna. So the Pshat is that it became Avram, it was established as Avram's land. Bechol Bai Shari Ro, Bekarav Kulam, Uvamamad Kulam Hiknaulo. It was in front of everybody that he purchased it. Okay, so now let's get to the answer. Let's try to start with the answer. The Ramban in number 9, he mentions a Gemara. He says, "V'nichtava zos ha-parsha." What's the purpose of this whole parsha, this whole area? Lohodia chazde Hashem im Avraham, to tell us the chesed, the kindness of Hashem with Avraham. Shehaya nasi elokim ba'aretz asher bala gorsham v'hayachid. He was really a prince, and he was alone, I guess, but Yachid, he was the only one. V'chol ha'am hayu korin lo Adoni. They would all call him master. V'hu lo amar lahem kein, shahaya sar v'gadol. He didn't say that. He didn't say that I'm great and I'm a great person. V'gam b'chayav, so that was his response. V'gam b'chayav, which is similar to, I think, what Karen said, that really he didn't want to be seen as a melech. V'gam b'chayav kayam lo v'agad lo shemecha v'heyei bracha. And it's trying to show you that the promise that Hashem made to make Avraham great was established in his lifetime. He saw that everybody recognized him and they gave him respect. The ishto mesa v'nikbara b'nachalas Hashem. And his wife died and she was zocha to be buried in the nachalas Hashem. Okay, the ode. This is interesting. The ode, ki ratza lehodinu makom kvuras avos. The Torah is telling us where the avos are buried. Ba'asher anachnu chayavim lechabed makom kavuros avosinu hakadoshim, in order to give respect to the burial place of the avos. V'rabosinu amru, and our rabbis taught in Baba Basra, shegam zeh min hanes yono shel Avraham. This is one of the tests of Avraham. Shebikesh makom likbor esara. He wanted to find a place to bury Sarah. V'lo matza. He couldn't find it ad shekana oso, until he purchased it and he was kona it. Okay, the last idea in the Ramban. Why was this a test for Avraham? What's the test here? He says it's a nisayon for Avraham, in order that he had to find a place to bury Sarah, and the only way he could get it was through purchasing it. Why was that a nisayon for Avraham? Why? He was rich. Avraham had a lot of money. So what's the big deal? So he has to pay for a burial plot. So what is a nisayon? And it sounds like from the psukim that it was his choice. He could have taken it as a gift, and yet he chose to be koned and to purchase it. And why did he do that? And he could have just avoided this whole test and just taken it as a gift. So how is this a test for Avraham? If he had lots of money, what's the big deal? The Gemara ties it to the fact that he was promised the land. Amar Lefanav, look at number 10. Sorry. Amar Lefanav, Ribono Shel Olam, Shatzisi Bechol Olam V'lo Matzasi Ke'Avdecha Avraham. So I scoured the land and I never found a servant like Avram. Sha'amarta lo kum hisalech ba'aretz la'arko la'rachba ki lecha etznena. Hashem says to Avram, go look around the land and walk around the land because I'm going to give this to you. Uvishah shebikesh likbor sarah lo matzo makom lekovra. V'lo hirher achar midosecha. When he was looking for a place to bury Sarah, he couldn't find a place until he had to purchase it, he had to buy it. And he couldn't find a place. It wasn't just given it to him. It wasn't given to him. But on the one hand, Hashem is saying the land will be yours, and on the other hand, he had to purchase his own burial plot. And he had to. So what is that? What's the concept behind this being a test for Avraham?
Maybe, again, it's about Aniba, what we were talking about before, that maybe to show that just because he was appointed by God to be whatever, he still saw himself as a regular person and a humble person. So why should he be treated different than other people?
Okay, excellent. Okay, good. All right. But he didn't have... Okay. Okay, I like that. I like that approach. But that doesn't really match or fit in with the concept that Hashem promised him the land. Once again, it's like that. Remember that original Rashi where it says that if not, I'm going to take it minadin. I'll take it legally. Meaning to say...
But even though Hashem promised it, he wanted to show the people that he's just like them, that he doesn't want to be... Like that he's not...
Okay, so the question is why? You want to say it's because of Anivas, and I agree with you. I think there's a different approach.
Hear that God is the one that we're supposed to be subservient to, that he's just a guy.
Okay, I agree with that. But on the other hand, let me just fight back. On the other hand, it does say, Va'agadol Hashemecha. This was actually a promise that Hashem made to Avraham, that he would be seen as a great person. And this was necessary for Avraham to continue the Jewish philosophy and the Torah philosophy. So it was necessary for him to be seen this way. But I do agree with you, there isn't a concept of anivus here. And I want to expand upon that on that idea. Okay? Anybody else have an approach or a different possibility? Why was it such a big test? So I want to just let's go back to the situation. What was happening here? His wife Sarah died, and he's going to bury her, and everybody had this tremendous respect for Avraham because he was a great person. It even says that they definitely respected Sarah as well. We didn't do this Rashi, but one of the Rashis, we skipped over it. But the Rashi says that everybody on that day, number 6, it says, everybody was coming to pay their respects to Sarah. She had passed away. So they all respected Avraham and Sarah. And therefore, they wanted to give Avraham and Sarah this Mara, Samachbela. So why did he turn it down? And what was the test? So I think the test is that Avram really understood. We mentioned before that Maras Machpelah. What's the uniqueness of Maras Machpelah? It's an identifiable place, or it was for the Zugos. See, Avram understood that the concept and the burial place of Maras Machpelah wasn't just for him, and it wasn't about him personally, him or Sarah, but it was also for the Avos in general. It was for all the other Avos. It mentioned there's a reference to Adam Arishon and Chava, but the reference also as well to the Zugos in the future means that Avraham understood the purpose of Maras HaMachpelah. The purpose of Maras HaMachpelah was not about Avraham and Sarah, but it was really about the Avos in general and their contribution to Klal Yisrael, to creating Klal Yisrael. And it had to be a place that people could identify and pay their respects to the Avos in general. So what's the test here? See, the test is that when your spouse dies, it's very sad, and you want to focus on the greatness of that person, and you want to highlight it. In the Hesped, we talk about the greatness of the person. And he was Maspid Sarah. He talked about her greatness, how Sarah was a great person. But in the burial plot wasn't about the personal. It wasn't about Sarah and Avram per se, but it was really about Klal Yisrael in the future and their relationship to the Avos in general. So the test was that Avram had to separate his personal emotions from this situation, the emotion that he wanted it to be focused on him and Sarah, and really Sarah's greatness, and recognize that it was really not just about him, but it was about the Avos in the future as well. And that's why he's drawn to Maaras HaMachpelah, and he chooses Maaras HaMachpelah, because he understands that concept. But I think that also explains why he couldn't take it as a gift, and he had to purchase it. So why couldn't he take it as a gift? He couldn't take it as a gift because then the very establishment of Maaras HaMachpelah would be based on Avraham's greatness and Sarah's greatness. And that would take away from the purpose of the Mara. The purpose of the Mara wasn't just about Avraham, and it wasn't just about Sarah, but it was about Avraham, Sarah, Yitzchak, Rivka, Yaakov, Leah. It was about all those people. It was about their contribution to Klal Yisrael and the development of Klal Yisrael. And the understanding that the Mara wasn't just for him and Sarah, and it wasn't just a testament to Sarah's greatness, but it was really for the future of Klal Yisrael and their relationship to the Avos as a unit, as an entity. That's why it demanded from Avram that he purchase the land, and that he not just take it as a gift. If he just took it as a gift, it would be given and established as a sign of respect for Avram. And every time we visited the Mara, we'd only think about Avram. We would think about Avram's greatness. But Avram, he saw that as a problem, as something taking away from the purpose and the function of the Ma'ara. And therefore, he had to purchase it. He had to purchase it in front of everybody in order to separate it from that from that idea, to separate it from it being a personal favor, a personal gift to him because of his greatness and because of Sarah's greatness. So that, I think, explains why it was such a test. It was a test because from an emotional standpoint, you want to bury the person, and you want it to be all about that person and that person's greatness. But in the actual burial of Sarah, there also had to be the recognition and the conception of the future, and that it's not just about Sarah, but it's also about the future Avos, and them being buried there as well, and this being a place for Klal Yisrael to utilize in the future to their own advantage, to their own perfection and spirituality. And that was the test. The test is when you're in an emotionally vulnerable state, to be able to separate yourself from it and recognize what the true purpose is of this ma'ara, of this burial plot. And that's why he turns it down as a gift, I believe. That's why. And also, it explains the Rashi originally. We asked the question, why didn't he... Really, it was... See, he understood, what does it mean that he'll take it min adin, but he didn't end up taking it min adin. It means that he understood that it wasn't just about him. It wasn't a personal... The Maaras HaMachpelah wasn't a personal gift. It was about it being utilized as being part of the land and being an element of Klal Yisrael's development and their future. It's almost like Maaras HaMachpelah is like a natural part of Eretz Yisrael. And he understood that. And that's why even though it wasn't his at this point, he understood that Maaras HaMachpelah and its value was part of the land. It was valued as part of the land and the land's function in the future, that the people in Eretz Yisrael would go to the Ma'ara and they would use it for spiritual development, for tefillah and for tshuva and for spiritual development. And he understood that. And that's the main idea here, I believe. So let me just explain it again. I hope it was clear. The one idea, the one concept of this shir is based on the main question of why did Avraham see that he had to purchase the land and not just accept it as a gift. And a lot of different ideas were thrown out, and I agree with a lot of them, but I think together, the one main idea is if you come out with, or if you look at Maaras HaMachpelah and its function was not just for Avram and Sarah, but it was for the future, and for it to be part of the land and to be utilized by Klal Yisrael. And Avram, the Nisayon, the test was for Avram to separate himself from the personal and burying Sarah as his wife and as this great tzedekes, and seeing the Ma'ara as being something for the future, as something that included the other Avos as well. And if it was given to him as a gift, it would always be established as simply a recognition of Avraham's greatness and Sarah's greatness. But that's not what the Ma'ara was for. The Ma'ara was for all the Avos, and it was for Klal Yisrael as a whole. And therefore, he had to purchase it in front of everybody. So that's the shir tonight. Anybody have any questions or any other thoughts or disagree or want to fight? about the concept, the idea. Anybody? Hello?
No, it's good.
Okay, good.
No, thank you.
All right, excellent. So everybody, have a good Shabbos. Have a good Shabbos, everybody. Bye-bye. Have a good Shabbos.